Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast. This is episode 4 and it's the 19th of September 2013. Right. A few days ago I put a post on the website, which also went to my Twitter account and my Facebook account, about the site finally being launched. Now it is up and running. I've tweaked it a lot in the last few days. Done a few editing and got it exactly how, well, I won't say exactly how I want it, but I got it how I want it. There's still things that need tweaking, but it is up and running. Now the website address, I've said it before and I'll say it again, is theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. Now, there you will find all the podcasts that I've recorded. There's a forum, and it's a community. So you, if you go along, you have to sign up to make any comments. You can view the site without signing up, but if you want to make any comments or anything, you do need to sign up. It's free, it doesn't cost you a thing. After signing up, you go to a forum and you just introduce yourself. That's what I would like anyway. And then you just say who you are, where you're from. Now, I have also set this so you have your own profile. And you, any other users on there that you've made friends with, you can send them a message direct rather than being on a forum. So you can also make your own group. So it's more of a community. We'll put it like that. A community of veg growers, fruit and veg growers. Now, I know there are many other websites out there do the same, but this is mine, and I hopefully you're going to go along and enjoy it. Now, the site, I have plans for the future. I'm planning on doing a few growing guides for various fruits and vegetables, and some tool reviews and things like that. It's going to always be progressing and evolving. Of course, you can always tell me what you would like. You can also, if you like, email me your own reviews on certain tools or products, and or even your own growing guides and what you do. Email it to me and I will put it up there for you and you will be credited with it. Right. So, I'm going to now tell you what I've done over the last few weeks. I'll start off at home. Right. Now, all the tomatoes and everything has been growing really well. Lately, I've been getting a few tomatoes. The tomatillos, you may remember I did say I was having problems with them. Well, one of them died and the other one survived. The surviving one has flowered. It has produced fruit when I squeeze it. I don't know how big it is because it's not ready yet, but I'm going to keep an eye on it. Now, what I'm quite surprised about is that all the literature says that tomatillos need 2 tomatillo plants in order to fruit. So I'm quite interested that I'm actually seem to be getting something from this. But we'll keep an eye and I'll let you know. I have finally replaced the roof shed felt. Now when I took you on a tour of my garden, I said the shed was 6 foot by 8 foot. And Fred said that was incorrect. I should have said it's 4 foot by 6 foot. But yeah, I've replaced the roof felt, so it's now waterproof again and quite nice. While I was doing the roof felt, I made a lid for the water bat. I just out of 2 bits of plywood, which I've then put some more felt over the top and made it hinged between the two so I can lift it up and look inside still. I'm also using the top to hold some plants and things on there so it's not going to waste. Raspberries, When the summer raspberries, these ones were, I was getting about a handful a day when they were producing, which was great. So every day I was going out picking another handful, and that'll go for our breakfasts and stuff. Bring that in, wash it, straighten in the mouth. Yum. Once I had finished fruiting, I've cut all the flowering stalks down to ground level. Summer raspberries fruit on 2-year-old stalks. Now this is producing more stalks, so I'm definitely going to get more next year. Now everything else has really perked up lately. It's looking really nice and green. During August I sowed some onion seeds, and the onions are actually for the allotment, but I've sowed them at home. And I sowed them as seeds because of an experiment I read somewhere that you can grow them from seed ready for planting sort of September, October, and they'll be like in miniature sets basically. So I thought I'd give it a go. I've got some sets anyway that I've bought recently, but I'll give that a go as well. Now they've all seemed to have germinated. I've done two different types of onion seeds. One that says you can sow in August, and one that didn't say anything about being able to sow in August. And they've both germinated and pulled up roots and making the plants. So soon I'll be potting those on, and they'll probably go into the ground quite next month as well. Something I did do over the summer, you may recall I was talking about an egg sows. Well, I gave in and bought one. I actually bought the smallest one, which wasn't the one I was looking at, but I bought the smallest one. Although I don't use a hose pipe that much, it is really, really impressive. So I highly, highly recommend them. Now, this hose, when it's got no water in it, it is small enough to fit in a flower pot. It just goes so small. Then when you attach it onto the tap, you close the other end off and you turn the water on, and the water pressure stretches it out. Once it's fully stretched, you open the valve and you have it working. It stays at that size. And it is big enough, when fully stretched, to reach my whole garden. And it is so, so light when empty as well. Then when you finish using it, you just turn the tap off, and as the water drains out, the pressure drops and it squeezes back up. Now, I cannot say how impressive this is. I'm really pleased with it. I believe it has won many, many awards. But yeah, if you're thinking of getting one, I would highly recommend one. They are expensive. And, hose pipes, I don't believe, are the best way to water the garden. But if you're going to have one, have a decent one. Now, of course, it's winter time, coming to winter. I will see how it does over the winter and the freezing conditions and things to give it a full evaluation. So I will keep talking about that. Couple of other new additions I've done in the garden. Our electric lawnmower packed up. It was still working, I just could hear the bearings were going. One of my neighbours has a hobby of buying petrol lawnmowers, and fixing them, running them, getting them running, and then selling them on. Well, he happened to have a small one, which I bought off him. Now, my research on this lawnmower shows that it's actually 25 years old. But when I pull it out, I pull the cord, it starts first time. I can't ask for anything better. So that's been another new addition. I've also brought a petrol hedge trimmer, just to trim a few hedges. Now, I like the petrol hedge trimmers because of the lack of electric cords and things. A bit more versatility. So up the allotment, when I go up there, I don't have electric. I can use the petrol one. Excuse me, sorry. Now, this petrol hedge trimmer I did buy brand new, bought it from a garden centre. They had knocked down the price to a very good price, which made it worthwhile for me. I believe it was the end of stock. In fact, it was the last one they had, so they're probably just trying to get rid of it. Either new season stock coming in, or they're not selling that particular one anymore. It was actually made by Obi, so a pretty good make, and I'm happy with it. Don't use it a lot, but I'm happy with it. Another thing I bought was some saffron bulbs. Now, saffron is a very expensive spice, as no doubt you're aware. And I quite fancy growing these. So I bought some bulbs off a well-known website. And they arrived. And I planted them. I've got three pots of them. One's actually to go up the allotment, but the other two are at home. Now, saffron likes plenty of space and to be planted deep, about 4 inches deep, I've read. So I've done that in multi-purpose compost in some wooden planters. I've got about 7 in each pot. Now, saffron should be coming into flower around the next couple of months, so I'll let you know how I get on with that and if I get any of the stagma, or however you pronounce it, from the saffron that makes the spice. So that I will keep you posted. Unfortunately, because we are having wet weather at the moment, I'm not sure if it's going to do it, because it needs a period of dry weather to break it in. It's had dry weather over the summer, so and of course it came, the bulbs came dry, so we shall see. I haven't seen any life yet, nothing's poken up, but time will tell. Now, up the allotment. There's been a lot going on, as you can imagine. It's been a couple of months now since I last gave you an update, stupidly. So, what's been going on there? Well, everything's been growing well. I've been planting all the extra plants and stuff, and everything's taken very, very well. I'm really happy with it. Courgettes, we've been harvesting and getting quite a few each time I go, several a week, which have been lovely. We've had quite a few dinners out of them. Been getting tomatoes from the greenhouse and gherkins. Now this is the first year I've managed to grow gherkins, and I've grown quite a few, and I've been taking them home. I've actually been pickling the gherkins, and I may do more on pickling at a later date, on a later podcast. I have a melon plant in the greenhouse. I mean, it's been growing, but it hasn't been doing anything, so I'm keeping an eye on that and seeing why. I don't even think it's flowered, and I think it's probably a bit late on now, so that's an interesting one. It may be I planted it a bit too late, I don't know. Also in the greenhouse, I of course have the cuttings from the pear tree, and I think they've all died. I'm going to leave them over the winter and see if they spring into life in the spring. But all the leaves slowly disintegrated and fell off. It did take a while, it wasn't instant, but we shall see. Now, I have mentioned my Three Sisters batch. The sweet corn there, it was growing so well, really nicely high, and started producing the corns. Now the corns obviously were not ready yet, and then I believe badgers came, because I found quite a few of the bottom had been nibbled and they had fallen over and the corns have been eaten. Now, my belief is badgers, because that is what they do. And they eat the bottom to get at the corn. Very, very clever. So it's amazing how animals can get over certain obstacles in order to get what they want, in particular food. So what I've had to think about is, with the sweet corn, is what am I going to do next year to ensure I get some sweet corn out of it? And the only thing I've came up with is, or what I've decided I'm going to come up with as well, is I'm going to use some of these wooden boxes we have. Now, they're from work. They are about 3 foot by 2 foot and 3 foot deep. They're pretty big. And my idea is I'm going to put some compost in the bottom and then plant the sweet corn into this and then grow up. And the box should then protect it from badgers. I could also add some pumpkins in order to give it a bit of a ground cover to stop weeds and stuff, although we shouldn't really get weeds. I'm also going to do this with carrots and parsnips. The carrots did get dug up, but they didn't eat them, and I managed to pop them back into the ground and give them a good watering, and they survived. I have actually got two of these boxes up there, and I have quickly sown some carrot seeds into one of these boxes, and it works. They've all germinated, they're growing well. In fact, I'll be harvesting them pretty soon, or some of them. They did need thinning, but that's the thing with carrots anyway. They do need thinning unless you're very, very good at them and patient, which is something I'm not. I do have a tool called a seed saver, which helps with the sowing, but I find it can be quite fiddly and time consuming. If you don't know how to use it, it takes practice and patience. Garlic and onions, I said these grew and over winter, and they all came through. You can throw shallots in with them as well, actually, and I've harvested them. They came up right great. There was a few large onions, but the most were a reasonable size. And the same with the garlic. They weren't anything special, but they were a reasonable size. But after harvesting these, I then planted some peas and French bean seeds. Now, this was in July. Last day of July I planted these, and I had read that you can still plant these seeds then and get a harvest out of them. Well, it's true, you can. I've been getting peas. I've just actually had my dinner, and that was a load of peas that came from this load of seeds. So it does work. And it works well. And it uses land that you may not find a use for. So, end of July, you can still plant these seeds. Well worth remembering if you got a bit of spare land at the time. I brought a pot of little bay trees, a load of bunches of bay trees almost, which I've separated and planted them in separate pots and seen how they're doing. They've not all survived, I can tell you that now, but the most of them have. Now, I've put them in pots and I've kept them watered well. I've also put the pots in like a tray with some of the old weed suppressant membrane to act as like a water reserve. It works. It does keep them moist. But as I say, they've not all survived. It was a bit of an experiment, and to be honest, I was trying to get some cheap bay trees for a project next year, to see how they did and if they grew big enough. I don't think they were going to grow big enough, but I haven't lost a huge amount on that, and it was well worth trying. I found a supply for horse manure, and I went and got a couple of bins of it from this supply, which are thrown up there and left in the sun just to dry out. The badgers have must have played in it because it's been spread around for me in quite a good way, where around the fruit plants, which was really handy of them, dare I say it. So, well worth remembering that if you want to make it easy for yourself, just put it in a pile near where you want it and let the badgers spread it for you. Unfortunately, this horse manure isn't well rotted, shall we say. It came from a livery that I know, and they just said, help yourself. They got to get rid of it somehow. So I'm going to be making regular visits to get more of this, and I'm just going to keep a pile of it to rot down, ready for use. Now, the first load I will actually be putting onto the beds as they become empty for the winter. I just put it straight on. It is a bit fresh, but it will rot down over the winter. And put all the goodness into the soil, ready for planting next year. I also add some of this horse manure to the compost heaps to help them along, and that will be continuing in the future. Now, as I said, I've been harvesting courgettes. I've also been harvesting French beans, peas, tomatoes, gherkins. Quite a lot, actually. I can't think of everything off the top of my head that's been coming in, but there's quite a lot. First earlies are all up. I've still got my main crop potatoes, first early potatoes, that is. Still got my main crop potatoes in. I'm thinking of harvesting those soon, although the plants still seem to be green and lush. Now, look, the first earlies, they were a reasonable size, a reasonable crop. Now, I tend to leave them in the soil until I need them and just pull them out. And then I just dig over the soil and pull them all out when they all die back. And, yeah, I got a reasonable crop, but not the best, not a huge amount. I probably had more out of one of the bags at home than an entire bed. So, a bit of a disappointment in some respects, but I'm happy with it either way. I think it's down to that I didn't water them, and the soil is so sandy it doesn't hold on to the nutrients very well or the water very well. Although I say I didn't water them, they didn't need watering. They just may have produced better with water. The fruit section, I've been getting plenty of tabries out lately, handful each time. And again, like summer raspberries, they need pruning, I believe. But they're still producing at the moment, and I'm going to keep harvesting them and bringing a few back each day. Again, lovely with our breakfasts and snacks. The blueberries, the two blueberry plants, had a few blueberries off them, but unfortunately the birds got to them as well. So I think I may have said next year I'm going to have to build a cage over them to protect them better. That's easily done. I'll just make some chicken wire and a wooden cage and protect them better and keep the birds off them. I did make a wind chime out of some old knives and fork and spoons we had. And that went over some of the blueberries when I realised I was having a problem. And it worked. It did keep them off them. Something else I've been doing is out of old pallets and stakes, I've been making posts and signs. Just cut the pallets to size, screwed them onto the posts, sprayed them green, and then with a black pen and a fine paintbrush, I've written on what is growing in that particular area. So as such, the plum tree has been labelled as a plum Kazar, because that's what's growing there. The cherry Morello, and so on. I'm still making more of these and continuing to do this, but it definitely helps to know what's where. Although I can pretty much remember what's where, it's so much easier having a label and avoids confusion. And some of the other people up there have seen these signs and have liked them. Again, they're cheap and easy to make. Just screw on two bits of wood onto a post, spray it, paint it, and hammer them into the ground. I was also given another water bat, but this water bat seems to have a little leak that I'm trying to seal up. I'll probably seal up with some mastic or plumber's mate or something. And I think I'm about there now. I think I've told you everything I've been doing. As I said, the website is up and working, so please go and visit it. It's thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk. Please join the community. There's only 3 members at the moment, and 2 of those are myself, and the other one's my brother. It is in the beginning stages, but hopefully with your support, we can get there. And I strongly believe that this can work, and that this community, we can build a community and help each other and talk to each other and advise each other, but also to experiment with each other and learn off each other. If you think I'm right, please go along and join up. As I say, it doesn't cost anything to be a member. It's free. When you sign up, you'll be emailed an activation code of which you use to it, and then you can go on in and have free reign. And so, again, thank you for listening. This is the Veg Grower Podcast. My name's Richard, and I shall speak to you again. Thank you.